The couple had lived there 20 years, but had never belonged. Now, with the woods around them icing over, they walked up the road, scanning the black woods for the light that meant they would be home. The woman just one day said to him it was her dream house, having never said anything about living in the woods, always wanting, from what he could tell, to be the center of attention, then proving that both things were true. It was her dream for her house in the woods to be the center of attention. But she still didn't belong here, he thought, any more than the strangers that showed up for kiln firings and full moon walks. He walked a step ahead of her, in one hand a pail of salt and in the other a scoop he was using to throw the salt at her feet. She was wearing her meditation shoes because, she explained, she intended only to walk out to the car and back, not a mile uphill on sheer ice. Thank God for salt, he then said. No, not God, she said. Why is it always God? He said he didn't know, but he did have an idea. Should we thank God for the storm, she said, for the tree that fell over the road the moment I got to you? That it's possible we might die tonight? Should we thank him for that? We're not going to die, he said, reaching deeper into the pail. She said, how do you know? And kept walking, meditation shoes swishing over the ice, inch by inch. Another thing she said when they moved to the woods was that she wanted to die in peace, like an old person says who's been hounded by his family. They weren't yet 50 then. After a while, he asked, your feet okay? I can't feel them, if that's what you mean, she said. He felt the scoop scrape the bottom of the pail. They were almost to the top of the hill, as if someone meant there to be just that much salt. He felt bad and thought of other things he could do to keep the woman from slipping. He could crouch down and almost crawl beside her, laying his own hands on the ice, on which her soft-soled shoes could fall like stones across a stream. The thing about ice was that if you were already moving, you couldn't stop, and if you were stopped, you could never hope to get moving. He thought about something else, too, the scoop clinking around in the empty pail. He thought about pushing her. Just one hand, her feet giving way, the iced over road doing the rest, his wife's body sliding like a burlap sack down into the darkness. He felt bad about this, too. But it wasn't the sort of gut-wrenching feeling he expected with a thought like that. Just not the thing that was going to happen that night.